Right now, we're going to cross over to Demir Gulaş from the Corner Flag and one of our own here on FNR, the co-host of Mundial Memories, to chat everything NPL Victoria. Demir, welcome to the show.
All right, thanks for having me, boys.
All good. And we should probably start with the match of the round, which was Bentley being knocked off for the first time this season against Port Melbourne. Akonagaya hat-trick proved to be the difference in the end.
Yeah, and dare I say, the upset of the season so far. Akonagaya came into the league as a bit of an unheralded signing. Certainly, when you look at his pedigree and the quality that he brings to that Port Melbourne team, he's a player that has the potential to do what he did on Friday night. And he certainly punished the Greens for allowing him the space, time and opportunities to score goals. We saw a bit of him, Victorian audiences did in Blacktown City's FA Cup run the quarterfinals of last season's competition. And he's certainly a player that, dare I say, if he was maybe a naturalised Aussie at this stage, some A-League clubs might look at him. But also a good performance in midfield by Daniel Clark, who got Port Melbourne's first on the evening. He was actually very close to joining the Bentley Greens in pre-season, but it wasn't to be, and Port Melbourne have benefited.
So, Demir, set the scene. You know, I think Bentley Greens did score late in the game to get it back to 4-3. So it must have been a frantic finish to see off this one.
Yeah, and, you know, with Bentley, they're always guaranteed goals. But I suppose what's been a very efficient for them and impressive at the start of this campaign has been how defensively solid they've been. Young Charlie Fry has done an outstanding job, the teenager, and he's one player that's really one to watch in Wednesday night's game against Kingston with the all-important FA Cup Round 7 tie. Jack Webster as well, who's probably one of the best, if not the best defender outside the A-League. However, Port Melbourne took their opportunities, and we've seen that they're capable of punishing teams in attack. They beat Bulleen Lions 5-1 a few weeks back at the Veneto Club on Monday night. So when they're on their game, Port Melbourne, they certainly like to score not just one, but a few of them.
You're listening to the NPL show with Athos Syrianos and Nick Dabano. We're joined by the Corner Flag and FNR's own co-host of Mundial Memories, Demir Gulaş, to talk all things NPL Victoria. And Demir, South Melbourne and Avondale played out quite an intriguing game yesterday at Lakeside, and Avondale got a 3-0 win. Liam Boland scored one of the great NPL goals. Very ambitious, considering the goalkeeper was not necessarily off his line, but scored two goals in 5 minutes. What set us the scene what happened down at Lakeside yesterday, because Avondale really just blitzed them in the second half.
Yeah, and Avondale were up 1-0 from half time. Stefan Zinni, the ex-South Melbourne man who's had a long association with that club, who spent pretty much his entire junior career at South Melbourne. He got his first goal for Avondale against his former employees. And then, of course, Liam Boland, well, we know he's got form when it comes to scoring long-range goals from the centre of the field, given what he did in the FA Cup a few years ago, and the Central Coast Mariners can attest to that. But, yeah, certainly he produced a performance that was really needed of him yesterday, because Kane Shepherd, their leading goal scorer, was out, and also Joey Katapian is also out injured. So with both those players missing, Liam Boland was the lone man up front, and he certainly scored an absolutely unbelievable strike just inside his own half. And also, Jared Tyson, look, sometimes it's easy to blame goalkeepers in that situation. I guess he was at fault. But at the end of the day, Liam Boland didn't have the too much space to really choose from. So it was a real precision finish from him.
Now, Demir, South Melbourne signed, actually made a new signing literally just before we went on air. And it was Ndumba Makeche signing, obviously a former Perth Glory player. You know much about Makeche and what he will bring to South Melbourne?
Yeah, so Makeche is formerly of the Perth Glory, as you mentioned. He made a handful of appearances for their senior side in the early parts of the decade. Born in Zambia, he spent the last few years playing in both Malaysia and Indonesia, and he's obviously been quite prolific over there. He came close to joining, from what I understand, the Oakley Cannons in 2013, once he was released from the Glory, but that wasn't to be. And also last year, I know there were some clubs in the NPL inquiring about his services, but with Milos Lujic, their top goal scorer and four-time Golden Boot winner in Victorian football, suspended at the moment, and also, to my understanding, he'll be attending the World Cup next month. He's going to obviously be absent for a large chunk of the next couple of months, so they really needed to stockpile in that department, given the fact that they haven't been the most prolific of teams early on this campaign.
And I'm sure we could talk about South Melbourne all night, but I think from what I've seen, a lot of the fans, they weren't happy with, I think, the attitude of the South players as soon as they conceded. We've seen them concede quite heavily at home. Is it something that you know, the fans should be concerned about, the fact that, you know, the South players perhaps maybe drop their heads when they concede?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, it's not the first time this year that they have bowed out to a heavy defeat. And also at home, you look at their last game before yesterday at home. It was a 3-0 defeat to Green Gully. Similar circumstances, they were second best. And I mean, the squad has been tested this year through injuries, suspension and loss of form. And at the moment, it's not responding. You would have thought that after last week's 2-0 victory over Kingston, after they made a real lightning start to that contest, that they would maybe build on some momentum from that game, but it just wasn't to be. And they do have a general meeting called for tomorrow night with their supporters, so it'll be interesting to see what comes of that.
Damid, obviously, interesting scenes up in Green Gully at the moment. Now, they've lost two on the bounce, and a loss to Hume, who it got a massive win for them. They're looking to try and get themselves back into the hunt to stay up. Is everything starting to lose a bit of touch there with Green Gully, with the top three? Obviously, Heidelberg have those two games in hand. Avondale just keep winning, and Bentley did just drop their first points. But are Green Gully starting to just separate themselves a little bit from the pack?
Yeah, I would agree with that statement. You know, going into the season, Green Gully was tipped to be one of the teams that could potentially challenge the likes of Heidelberg and Bentley, but it hasn't been the case at all. And when they've come up against these teams, they've been second best, and second best by some distance. So losing at home to Hume City, their second consecutive home loss after losing to Heidelberg United the week before, is not good, particularly given the fact that this team is out of the FA Cup as well. To my understanding, some players on the outer in terms of haven't been playing too much this year and will be making moves in the mid-season transfer window. Others have performed exceptionally well. You look at guys like Nick Kritsiratis, Kieran Dover, and also Josh Barresi, who's been very impressive for them since coming back from a long-term knee injury that ruled him out for the entirety of the 2017 season. But as a whole, they seem quite disjointed at the moment.
And, you know, Green Gully dropping points. I mean, of course, it'll be quite extraordinary to see them drop out of that top six. But them dropping, especially the last two games, really opens the door for sides like Pasco Vale and even Port Melbourne, Oakley and Dandenong, who have really come alive in this stage of the season.
Yeah, you look at a team like Pasco Vale, got a late winner against Oakley on Friday night, thanks to Lucas Antilli. Port Melbourne, if they can strengthen their squad a bit in the mid-season transfer window, add a couple more names, because they have been tested at times, particularly defensively this year. There's no reason why they shouldn't be looking for a top six place. And also, you never know if teams like Dandenong Thunder, Northcote City, Melbourne Knights, Oakley Cannons can get themselves onto a run while they're into that top six picture as well.
And we must not forget Heidelberg, one of the teams you mentioned there. We saw their depth really put on display there. Is their depth probably the best in the league? And, you know, can they be stopped once they get everyone back?
Yeah, because their depth has obviously been tested in the recent weeks with the likes of Sean Ellis, Harry Noon injured, Petrie has been suspended, Cahill only returned from injury this week. And so, you know, George Koutsakis has had to make his way through a difficult period, particularly, you know, a lot of tough fixtures as well. But they've done quite well, and they were, again, very impressive on the weekend against Kingston. What helps them is that they've got a squad that's, you know, played with one another for a number of years, bar a few additions that they have made over the last 18 months, but additions that have settled into the squad quite well. And it'll be interesting to see in the mid-season transfer window whether they do strengthen, because obviously, you know, Ellis still hasn't returned. Govas, to my understanding, is a season-ending injury. So, you know, if they can maybe get one or two more players, they should also leave themselves in good stead for an FA Cup run, a deep FA Cup run, which we've seen from them in previous seasons.
And Heidelberg did defeat Kingston 6-1 there at Olympic Village. And it's bad enough that George Koutsakis has selection headaches to worry about. And he's also probably got the headaches as to who takes the penalties now, as we saw Chris Theodorides scored a second penalty of the season. Is there any chance he could be upgraded to free kicks in the coming weeks?
Well, if he was to be, he'd be certainly channeling Schiller there, the ex-Paraguayan goalkeeper. But it'll be interesting to see when Sean Ellis does come back, who will be taking the penalties, because I think Tom Cahill would have been another name that fancies himself from the 11-metre mark, who had to make way for Theodorides on the weekend. So as long as he keeps scoring him, I see no reason why he shouldn't relinquish that tag.
Now, David, before we let you go, Northcote got an incredible win. They were down 2-1 with only minutes to go, and they got that 90th minute winner, really, through Jerry Siliados right at the end. Northcote's starting to build up a little bit of a run at the moment. They're out of the bottom three. They're looking good to stay up this season?
At the moment, yes. And what's been most impressive is that over the course of the season, they have been improving. You know, you looked at their team going into the season, they had a lot of young players, a lot of inexperienced players, not a lot of players that have been, you know, season campaigners in the NPL Victoria, in the top flight, that is. But certainly, they are making improvements with each week, and that's a huge testament to the squad of players that they also have, but also their coaching staff, Eric Vassiliadis, who of course had a difficult short stint as Melbourne Knights coach last year, but he's rebounded and done exceptionally well so far. When you look at also their team, Charlie Beverley has really been quite surprising in the fact that, you know, he's a central defender, but he's got 6 goals to his name already this season. He's got a double on the weekend. And when you look at the two youngsters, Slido's got the winner. He's been really impressive. And Lucas Derrick himself, who is, I think, netted 3 goals. He's, what, only 19. He was part of the same Joey's team that competed at the Under-17 World Cup in Chile 3 years ago alongside Daniel Arzani. And it's always quite interesting to see when players drop out of the system, how they respond when they're put into NPL surroundings. And Lucas Derrick has done exceptionally well, in my opinion.
Now, Damid, we must thank you very much for joining us here on the NPL show here on a Monday night and giving us a full insight into everything that's going on in the, obviously, in Victoria at the moment. And thank you once again.
No worries. Thanks, guys.